Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavitha Wei. U.S. President Donald Trump is feeling the heat when it comes to immigration issues surrounding the separation of children from the parents. Lawmakers from both sides of the aisle are criticizing the inhumane treatment, though legal, which Trump and his administration say is very legal and within legal boundaries. Human Rights Watch has described the separation of children from their immigrant parents as heartless and inhumane. In this debate, we ask if the U.S. is supposed to stand for humanity as it preaches, then why has Trump taken this stance, further tarnishing America's image? Let's get an idea of what's going on first with this. Our correspondent Colin Campbell joins us from Washington, D.C. Well, it's been a number of days that we are hearing lots of criticism leveled against the U.S. president. At the same time, Colin, the U.S. president is not backing down along with his administration officials. Where does this stand now?
Well, right now, it seems like the Trump administration is just willing to stick with its policy and really use what's happening at the border. And when I say what's happening at the border, that's the separation of parents from their children when they try to seek entry into the United States. He wants to use that as a bargaining chip to bring Democrats to the table when it comes to negotiating funding for a border wall. Of course, this was a promise that the president made during his campaigning and, of course, in recent months as the president. He wants a border wall built. That has not happened. There is no funding for it. Even though he has tweeted that there is funding for it and that it is being built, that's just when the wall was actually, parts of the wall were being repaired. That was something that was negotiated during the Bush and Obama administrations. There really has been no new movement on funding a wall during the Trump administration. This has been a point of consternation for Trump and his administration. And as he knows, he needs Democrats' participation and cooperation in order to get this border wall built. Why not use this crisis to try to force Democrats to the table to try to provide funding for the wall? And it looks like that's what the Trump administration is doing. If you look at the legality involved, there is no law that says that children need to be separated from their parents when trying to seek asylum into the United States. But what the U.S., what the Trump administration and the Attorney General have done is criminalize anyone who is not coming into the United States at specified border points. And even at some of those specified border points, there is a shortage of personnel where people can try to seek asylum in the U.S. So really, it's a big quagmire down there, and the president is using the problems to place on the Democrats to force their hand.
Thank you very much for that. Colin Campbell, a correspondent from Washington, D.C. Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, former U.S. Senate Foreign Policy Analyst James Jatras, joins us from Washington, D.C. James Jatras, welcome. What do you see going on here? You know, this is a crisis, obviously, but is it unfounded? Is Donald Trump correct in how he's approaching it? What are your feelings about it?
I think he is correct, and I would turn Colin's question during the setup piece the other way around. I don't think this is concocted by the Trump administration as a lever to get funding for his border wall, although I hope it will have that effect. I think it is rather concocted rather by the open borders lobby, and particularly those who want to pass legislation to prevent the deportation of the so-called Dreamers, to try to create a humanitarian crisis in the American media, which they then can use to put pressure on the administration not only to change its policy on the border, but to change its policy with respect to the so-called DACAs, as something that will be devastating to Trump during the upcoming November election. So I think there is a political game going on here, but it's not the one that you hear in the American media.
Okay, so you're saying that perhaps this is being transformed into something to be used for the upcoming midterm elections, and therefore it is being somewhat exaggerated, maybe in the way that it's being presented on the humanitarian side of things?
Absolutely. Look, there are two groups who essentially would like to have for the United States the same policy as, say, Angela Merkel has with her open borders in Germany, and that is the left in American politics, who looks at every illegal entry into the country as a prospective Democratic voter, and the plutocrats, of the corporate world who want as much cheap labor as they can, not necessarily the migrants themselves, but driving down wages of American workers. And so I think we have a very powerful combination that says open the borders, and any kind of enforcement which this administration is imposing to say, look, if you cross our border illegally, you get detained and you get prosecuted. That's not what they want to see, and they're trying to force them to stop.
Great. Let me introduce our next guest. We have a former chief deputy of the U.S. Marshals Service, Matthew Fogg, who joins us also from Washington, D.C. Matthew Fogg, welcome. Do you have us, Matthew Fogg?
I cannot hear.
Well, Matthew Fogg is getting set up here, so I got to come to you, James Dutras. Sorry. Jim Dutras, okay. One thing that's being mentioned here is, okay, you have these children, and I think that's at the heart of it, that's being separated from their families, from their parents.
Right.
But
yes.
They say that it's not the children that are at fault here. It's the parents that crossed the border, illegal as it may be. So therefore, the children shouldn't be prosecuted. And then, of course, comes the detention of the children, the facilities they're in, the conditions that they're at, but the fact that the fault shouldn't be on the children. Do you agree with that aspect of it?
Let me approach it another way around. Generally speaking, when you get arrested for anything, your children don't go into jail with you. If you get picked up for a common crime here in the United States, shoplifting or something, and you get put in jail, they're not going to put your kids in jail with you. They would normally go off to relatives or friends or whoever they might be, but if those people don't exist, they go into some kind of child custody. In the case of these people who enter the country illegally and now are not being treated to what they call catch and release, where they're signed up for an immigration hearing and then released into the general public and then disappear and never come back for their hearing, the Trump administration has expanded the use of actually detaining them and prosecuting them. You don't bring the kids into jail with them, so what do you do with them? Since they're not going to have relatives nearby to put them with, they turn them over to the Department of Health and Human Services to care for as essentially wards of the state, as unaccompanied minors, until their parents' situation is sorted out. Other than releasing them into the general public, I don't know what it is people expect to be done with these children.
Well, what about the hit that Trump is getting in the media because of this? Again, we might have to go back to the portrayal that perhaps is being falsely attributed to Trump, but Trump is saying that he's merely following not only the rules, but he doesn't want to, the U.S. to be used, as he mentioned, and I'm going to quote him at this point, look at what's happening in Europe, you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen in the U.S., not my watch. Do you think that this is going to dent Trump in the way that he's being received in the U.S. amongst the general public?
I think that's its purpose. It may be actually having the contrary effect. I think what it's doing is rousing even further Trump's base to say, look, when people cross into our country illegally, they should be detained, they should be prosecuted, and then we make whatever provision we need to for the children. I think they see through the propaganda line. As Colin pointed out in the piece, we do have about 25 border crossing points between the United States and Mexico. If they want to present themselves for a bona fide asylum claim, they should do so legally at the port of entry. Of course, we don't have the facilities or the manpower to adjudicate all of those cases on a timely basis, but remember, these people are coming not from El Salvador or Honduras or whatever country where they claim they have a well-founded first fear of persecution. They're coming from Mexico. So the fact that they're already in what in principle is a safe country itself undermines to some extent their claim to asylum. I believe very, very few of these people.
Very well.
Been told the magic word when they get to the U.S. authorities to say, I'm being persecuted, I want asylum.
Okay, we're going to try this again. Former Chief Deputy of the U.S. Marshals Service, Matthew Fogg, joins us from Washington, D.C. Okay, Matthew Fogg, if we have you, let's put you against our guest there, James Dutras. I don't know if you heard what he has said, but basically, do you have us, Matthew Fogg?
Yes, I have you. I have
very good. James Dutras says that what Trump is doing is within the legal framework, and that he is right in doing what he's doing, not allowing these people enter the country. What is your stance?
That's right. He's the president of the United States. He sets policy for those people coming in for immigration. He can determine whether or not, if the bottom line is the law is, if they're illegally coming into the country, they can be detained. And the issue seems like a moral issue here, but as far as legally, it seems like he can detain them. We have 2.3 million people in our prisons in the United States, the largest, probably largest population of prisoners in the world. And every one of these people are separated from their family members and so forth once they are actually locked up. So that is our system. And if these people are crossing the border, if they're illegally crossing the border, then they are detained.
James Dutras, what do you make of this tweet that Trump said? Please explain it to us. He said, "I say it's very strongly the Democrats' fault." In a series of tweets earlier on Monday, he demanded Congress change the laws. What is he talking about there exactly?
Well, you know, to tell the truth, I don't know.
James Dutras, I'll come to you. Matthew Falk, I'll come to you. James Dutras, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'd like to turn it over to Matthew because I honestly don't know what the president is talking about there. I mean, I don't know what other kind of solution that they have in mind. I mean, Matthew is quite right. When we have people in prison, they are detained separately from their families. I don't know that we'd want to set up something like family detention centers for people who are having asylum claims adjudicated, especially since, as I say, very few of them, in my opinion, have valid claims. So I don't know what kind of solution he expects from the Democrats on this.
Matthew Fogg, let me ask you why in April this was done. America's Immigration Agency removed the Nation of Immigrants from its mission statement back in February, I apologize. And the agency said also called on staff to stop calling immigrants customers. Why was that Nation of Immigrants removed?
Now, I can't really answer that question because I wasn't part of that procedure. You know, I'm retired from the government, so I don't really know why they made that decision. All I can tell you is that if people are illegally coming into the country has a right to protect its borders. Now, when you come down to morally, a lot of these folks are bringing their children, are bringing their young kids. They've got to know if they come across that border that there is a possibility if they get detained, their kids might be separated. And I don't know if that is, like I said, you're talking morally, but when it comes down to legally, this president, he's the president of the United States. He sets the policy. He has a right to make that determination. And as much as the world doesn't like it, again, I know many people in prison that would love to be close to their relatives, and they get visitation and all of that. And I'm sure if there was some way set up in all of this procedure that there were visitation rights, I'm sure that would get tied into it. But the reality is these people are being detained, and therefore the country has a right to put them in facilities once they get detained. And if their children are with them, they're probably going to separate them.
Okay, so we're talking about this, James Dutras, in a sense where Trump is toughening the existing law. So he's following through with action. But what it's doing, in a bigger sense, is it's somewhat tainting not his image, which by many respects many think is tainted already, but it's tainting the image of America, because just based on how people view America, that they received these asylum seekers or these migrants. Does that play into this?
It does, and I say taint away. I really don't care. I think a lot of Americans don't care. Look, I like many Americans, I'm sick and tired of this kind of rhetoric. I think a lot of Europeans are sick of it. Do you hear anybody saying China must admit immigrants, that Japan or Korea needs to admit migrants? There is a double standard in the world here. And look, to address your previous question, We get treated to this propaganda all the time that America is a nation of immigrants. To start with, an illegal migrant is not an immigrant. An immigrant is somebody who comes in to the country in accordance with the law. Secondly, our country is not a nation of immigrants in the sense it was not founded by immigrants. It was founded by British settlers who came here, established their own institutions with their own law, their own language, and so forth, and other people then migrated to and assimilated into that culture. African Americans did not come here in a sense of immigrants like these people did. They were transported here involuntarily, but they've been here longer than any other population in this country. They have a right to their own identity and their own institutions in this country in a way that people who just trips across the border because they want to come don't have that same right.
Okay, so Matthew Fogg, let me ask you this.
Well, let me
go ahead. Matthew Fogg, go ahead.
Let me just real quick correction on that. The Native Americans were here long way before we were here. So they're the ones who have this definitely rights over everyone. They were here first. So of course, the Europeans came here and took the natives' land and took over. So that's what we have. And then, of course, the slaves were brought here against their will. They were literally just confiscated from their homelands and brought here and forced into forced labor and so forth. So let's just make sure we got it right. But definitely when he talks about the folks coming across the border down in Mexico and so forth, we cannot just open our borders and just let people walk over freely, walk into the country when you have people that have sovereign rights here.
Okay, what is your take on asylum seekers overall, Matthew Fogg, when asylum seekers want to come into the U.S.?
An asylum person, if a person is seeking asylum, he has certain rights according to our government. There are certain rights that they can go to a particular location and they can request asylum. Now, I'm not down there. I don't know how they're treating these people. If they're saying they are asylum seekers, they're concerned about their life in another country, because there's certain rules and standards for a person to be able to claim an asylum, and they have to be adjudicated in that process. Now, once again, I'm not sure how our country deals with when someone says asylum, whether their kids can stay with them or whether they put their kids in a different location, then bring them back together once they determine whether this person is legitimately an asylum seeker. So it's a lot of laws that go into that. But I think what we have in the board is people just simply coming across the borders. They're trying to figure out a way, how can we control these borders and keep people just simply coming into our country because they want a better way of life?
James Atross, your idea about asylum seekers, of course, is a difference between asylum seekers and immigrants, correct?
Well, absolutely. An immigrant is somebody who comes in accordance with the law of the country. And in fact, many countries have very, very restrictive immigration laws. The United States actually has a rather generous one. In fact, many Americans think it's far too generous and we allow too many people in legally each year. And maybe that should be cut down. But that's a matter of public policy. You know, immigrating to, say, Japan is virtually impossible. And nobody ever criticizes Japan for that.
So, Matthew Fogg, when we come to previous administrations, this is another question that has been asked. Why was this practice avoided? And now that Trump is in office, it's being followed through.
Well, I think Donald Trump ran on that promise that when he got into office, he would correct immigration. And that has been a problem for this country for decades now. How do we protect our borders? How do we stop the flow of people just simply walking into America because they want a better way of life? Flooding our borders and flooding our country. There's places I can go down you're talking about down in Texas and certain places I can go where, to be honest with you, I would be a foreigner. I can't speak the language. And so the bottom line is there had to be some control. I just think this president is just taking a stand and it does bring heartburn, because when you hear on the news and you hear people and you hear these children crying and so forth, And yes, I mean, it definitely is something when you're talking about taking a parent away from the child. But the bottom line is, if that parent has some way broken the law and the laws of our land, like I said, those crying children are happening every day. We got 2.3 million people in prisons, and I'm sure many of their children have cried when their parents were taken away from them. So the bottom line is, I think the other presidents were trying to figure out a way how to do it in a palatable, if I could say, way. But the reality of it is it wasn't working. And so now this president has done something that is creating a situation where I think maybe Congress will get together and come out with a solution.
Okay. Matthew Fogg touched on something, James Atross, that maybe you can explain to us more. There are certain areas, neighborhoods, and even perhaps that are larger than just neighborhoods, where there are people that are not American, let's say they're of Chinese descent or other ethnicities, that pretty much just control that area in the sense of the demographics. It's just, let's say, Chinese or whatever other ethnicities that there are. Is that to such an extent that perhaps it played a factor in the way that Trump is trying to enforce that?
I don't know that it is directly, but I think that's one of the underlying psychological realities of what's going on here. Look, all four of my grandparents were immigrants, and when they came here with a conscious understanding that they were going to become Americans. They were going to learn English. They're going to be loyal to this country and to its institutions and become Americans in the fullest sense of the word, which is what their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren have done. I think that there's a mentality that's developed over the last few decades that says, oh, never mind all of that. We'll let people come into the country, either legally or illegally, it doesn't matter, bring their own institution, their own languages, their own customs and values, and impose those on us, that they will set up their own little enclaves here, and we have this gradual eating away of the fabric and solidarity of our society, and it turning into a kind of a balkanized patchwork. I don't think that's good for the unity or the cohesiveness of our country, and I think it shows a respect for our institutions and values and identity, and I don't think it's a good thing for us.
Matthew Fogg, there's another argument here that has been presented, and many multinationals and large conglomerates are against it, and that is the fact that much of their staff, or a large percentage of their staff, or a percentage of their staff are foreigners, people from outside the country, outside of the U.S. that have come into the country. Do you think that that has played also a factor in the way that immigrants are being viewed, that they're taking jobs away from Americans?
Well, the reality of it is a lot of the folks that come across the border illegally and wind up in this country will take the jobs, will take much lower paying jobs because they're coming from economic devastation, situations where, you know, making a third of what Americans would normally make, they would take that job and do that work. So the reality is it is an unbalance there. But I look at things a lot of deeply sometimes, even from a racial perspective, because, of course, I come from a situation where even on my job and so forth, race has always played a role with me in America. So when we look at, we say sometimes, would these people be treated differently if they were a different race of folks coming into this country? The reality is, I can tell you here now, when I look at that prison population, I see the disparities. We're talking about 13% of Americans are black, but yet it make up 40% of the population, whereas 65% of Americans are white, and they make up only 39% of the population. So we see these racial disparities, and the rest are Hispanics. So we see these racial disparities in America that concerns me on anything that we do, whether it's going to be equal, whether it's going to be justice applied equally. But when it comes down to the immigrants, those folks coming across, those illegal people I'm talking about coming across the border, a lot of those folks will take the jobs that and will get. And these people here in this country, a lot of times, the owners, the job people who hire these folks are complicit because they will hire these people and pay them these real, literally slave wages to get the job done.
And my final question is going to go to you, James Dutras. Do you think this crisis, as it's being termed, is going to subside, or are we going to see this continuing? Because based on the numbers, there are still many who are trying to cross the border.
I'm not sure. I think it will subside. I'm not sure how it will exactly. I think at some point, perhaps some of these people will not try these illegal crossing precisely because they're going to be detained, and of course the separation from the children is a consequence of that. But I'm hoping at some point that starts to look like a really bad deal, that if they do have a claim for asylum, they go to a border crossing point and try to do it in a legally valid fashion. But I think this is simply just another round of this long-standing argument that's been going on in the United States ever since Donald Trump said during the campaign, then he got elected, that he wanted to do something to actually solve the problem about illegal immigration into the United States. And that battle will continue for some time.
Thank you very much. Let me thank our guests. First, our correspondent from Washington, D.C., Colin Campbell. Then we had former U.S. Senate Foreign Policy Analyst there, James Dutras. And also former Chief Deputy of the U.S. Marshal Service, Matthew Fogg, all of them from Washington, D.C. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the debate. From Mikko Vitale and entire team, the Capitol 10 for Honest. Goodbye.